The book of Revelation is?
Revelation of Jesus Christ.
Ah, absolutely. And there's a blessing attached to this book because John said in Revelation 1:3, blessed. Look, we only have a few chapters left, okay? Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy. There's going to be a test before you get out of here. Yeah, but I'm only giving you a part of the verse, okay? For the time is near. Amen. So we get a blessing by reading and hearing these words. And we've gone through it. John was told to write the things that he had seen, the things which are and the things which will be after this, metatautau, after this. John wrote the things that he had seen, the throne of God. He saw he who sits upon the throne. And in his hand was a scroll, and it was sealed with seven seals. And no one was worthy to open the scroll. And then he saw Jesus, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Lamb that was slain. Come and take the scroll and open it. And as he opened the seals, judgment came upon the earth. And when they got to the seventh seal, there were seven trumpets, which brought more judgment, more wrath. And when they got to the seventh trumpet, there were seven bowls of wrath, more judgment. And we saw all those things. And it was terrifying. And it is terrifying. And then last week in chapter 18, well, wait, then he wrote about the things which are the seven churches in Asia. And then we have been looking at the things that take place after this, metatautau. All those terrifying things with the seals is after the church is taken up, after the church is raptured. And last week we went back and we looked at an illustration that the Lord gave us. A woman riding a beast. You remember? And that woman was an idolatrous religious system that the Lord called Babylon. And the woman, Babylon, was destroyed. Now today, we will look at another Babylon. Another idolatrous system that the Lord calls Babylon and its final end, its destruction. And we find that in Revelation chapter 18. It says, after these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven. John is in heaven. He is given a heavenly vision of what's happening on the earth. He saw the woman riding the beast and her destruction. Now he says, after these things, metatautau, after this, after the woman riding the beast and that idolatrous religious system is destroyed, then I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. Now, many people will look at this angel and they'll say, well, that angel must be Jesus. Because who has greater authority than Jesus? And we know that he is the light of the world, that he gives light to men, and the light is the life of men, right? But I don't think it's Jesus. Because John says, I saw another angel. Another allos, another of the same kind. Another angel like the other angels that I have seen before. I saw even another angel coming down. And this one was a glorious angel. glorious for sure. And it has great, this angel has great authority. Well, we know that angels come in ranks, right? Oh, we see that there's powers and principalities. They come in ranks. There's archangels. There's angels about the throne. So we see that they come in different ranks. And this is an angel having great authority of high rank. And he is glorious in appearance. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. Babylon is fallen. Last week we saw Babylon, that idolatrous religious system, fall. Here the angel proclaims, Babylon is fallen. A dual proclamation, giving emphasis to the word fallen, that it is fallen. It is certain this thing has happened. Now, there's something else here. There is another Babylon. We saw the woman riding the beast, and we saw that there was that the beast had 10 horns, and those 10 horns represented 10 world governments. And the world's governments supported the woman, remember? And she rode the beast. She thought she was in charge. But in actuality, she was being taken for a ride because they turned on her and destroyed her. Do you remember that? In chapter 17, the beast turns on the woman and destroys her. I think that's at the midpoint of the tribulation period when the Antichrist comes into the temple and does away with worship and the sacrificial system, and he demands that he is God and he should be worshipped. I think at that point, the idolatrous religious system that God called Babylon, that is also destroyed and swept away. But there's another Babylon that exists, another idolatrous system that God says Babylon, that God calls Babylon, and that system is also going to be destroyed. So when the angel says Babylon is fallen, it speaks of the certainty of the destruction of the idolatrous systems that God calls Babylon, and they are systems. One is religious, one is commercial. And we will be getting in to this commercial Babylon, this commercial system today in chapter 18. In verse 3 it says, for all the nations have drunk of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. In the tribulation, there will be a one-world government. There will be a one-world economic system. Remember, no one can buy or sell without the mark of the beast. That's a one-world economic system. It's interesting how ripe the world is for this. Right now, right today. Have you heard people mention these words, global economy or globalization? Have y'all heard those words? Those are everyday words to us. Turn on the news, you will hear global economy or globalization. We're headed towards that. a one world economy. And you know what the most important thing to people is? Money. We're going into elections coming up very soon. I'm not going to go there this morning, okay? Well, yeah, I am. If you look at polls, the single most important factor, the single most important issue in this election, according to the polls, is holiness. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I must have meant righteousness, godliness. The single most important issue in the polls of what concerns Americans is the economy. People vote their pocketbook. And politicians know that. And the politicians use the commercial system that is in place to gain power. And the commercial system that is in place in the world, in the United States, uses politicians to get favor. They use politicians to come into cities. Give me tax breaks, we'll bring our factory there. Build infrastructure for us, and we'll bring jobs into your city. And politicians bend over backwards. Why? For the money. For the economy. And they will do anything to bring jobs into their communities and into their states and into their countries so that their people can live in luxury. Is that true? All the nations of the world have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury, through commerce, through business. Now John says in verse 4, "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, 'Come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, lest you receive of her plagues, for her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities.'" The Lord speaks from heaven, saying, "Come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sin, unless you receive of her plagues, unless the judgment that I'm going to pour upon her, that you get hit by it." Now, because of this statement, there are many people that say, look, the church is there. God's saying to the church, come out. The church is there in the midst of the tribulation. Some people point at it as, see, this is in the middle part, and so the church is there until the mid-trib, and then there's a mid-trib rapture. Other people will say, no, the church is there till the end, a post-trib rapture. I don't believe that. I believe that the church is taken up. Then who are these people? Well, these are tribulation saints. The Lord is done working with the church at this point of time. He worked with the nation Israel. He stopped working with the nation Israel. He started working with the church. He's done working with the church. He starts working with the nation Israel once again. These people are tribulation saints. These people who heard the word of God. We have 144,000 witnesses of Jesus Christ. They're Jewish witnesses of Jesus Christ, and they're throughout the world spreading the gospel. They're protected. They're going to make it through the tribulation. Untouched, unharmed. They have God's seal upon them. And then there are others who heard their witness who got saved. There are others who heard the angel flying through the sky proclaiming the everlasting gospel. They heard it, they believed it, they received it, they got saved, and they didn't get killed. There are people that will be in the tribulation that you might know. Some of them will die. Some might make it. But they might get the gospel because of what you have told them over the years, over and over and over. And when you're gone, oh, they're going to believe. And these are those saints who are still on this earth. And the Lord says to them, come out of her. Come out of this idolatrous commercial system. You know that there are people who love money more than God? Oh, yeah. Been there, done that. Got the scars to prove it. Going for those things that money can buy. But God says to His people, those who have come to saving faith in the midst of the tribulation, come out. Don't be a part of this world system. And they won't, because they won't take the mark of the beast. They won't be able to buy and sell. They won't be able to participate in it. Come out of her, my people. Don't take the mark, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive her plagues. Now, this statement, this takes us back to the Old Testament. There are specific statements in Jeremiah 50 and 51 where the Lord tells His people to come out of Babylon. Come out of her, my people. Just like He's saying here, come out of Babylon, because I'm going to judge Babylon, and you don't want to be a part of that judgment. And God calling His people to come out of the worldly system goes all through the Bible. We see God calling Noah out to be separate. We see God calling Abraham to leave his people, to leave his country, to come out from that system. It's interesting. Abraham was in this area of Babylon. We see God calling Lot out. Don't get caught up in these things because I'm going to judge Sodom. You know, it's interesting to me. We're told that Lot was a believer, a righteous man. Yet, you know what? He was sucked into the materialism of Sodom. He looked, he saw it was a beautiful place, he saw it was a place that he could become wealthy, that he could make money, and that's why he went there. But still, God pulled him out of there. God called him out of that place. And God calls us out of that place today. God says to us, come out of her. We're in the world, but we're not to be of the world or the world systems. He says, come out of her, lest you share in her sins unless you receive of her plagues. Look, it is easy for us to lose focus. We are bombarded by advertising. A multi-billion dollar industry. Billions of dollars are spent to convince us to go and buy products. What will we get once we buy these products? You'll have joy. You'll have hair. You'll be thinner. No wrinkles. Life is good. Man, I watch Miller commercials and it's nothing like the drunks I see on Cops. How is that? Brain surgeons. It is amazing to me. And we're sucked in. I'm trying to teach my children and myself to enjoy the abundance that the Lord has given us. And I don't care how little you have here. You have abundance. Open that door for that lady, Roy, please. It's unlocked. Hey, thanks, Roy. Hi, welcome. I'm trying to teach myself and my children. I'm trying to teach us to be satisfied with the things that we have. And it is hard. We are rich. This country, we are rich. Did you get the email from Jen in Africa? She's living in a little bunkhouse thing and dorm, and she has to go and walk to take a shower, a cold shower. She had to wear mittens and long johns and socks and a wool hat to stay warm because she's living like the people in the culture that she's going to serve. That's how they live. The things that we have, we have incredible abundance. Yet we are, advertisement tells us, no, don't be satisfied with that. You deserve more. This is what luxury is meant to be. I sit with my kids and man, this guy has a Wii. And this guy has a four-wheeler. And this guy has an in-ground pool. And this guy has a BlackBerry. Little kids with BlackBerries. Why? Look, if you can't hear me whistle or you can't hear my voice, you're probably too far away. But it's this thing. Look, I'm not against Wii's. I see them. They're cool. And I like in-ground pools. They're cool. They're refreshing. But it's this. It's the unquenchable desire always to have something else. Never satisfied with what you have. I have this, but he has that, and I really want that. I walked out. I saw that car next door to you yesterday, Ben. Oh, that's what is that? That Dodge? No, it's not a Viper. It's not that sweet. It's the the cruiser. No, not the PT cruiser. The Magnum. The Magnum. Thank you. No, it's not that either. Forget it. Okay? You go and you see cars and you go, whoa, that is sweet. I was walking out going, whoa, that is sweet. That's a nice color. That's a nice looking ride. I really like that car. And I'm preparing for this. We are so easily sucked in. John writes, do not love the world or the things of the world. Don't get sucked up in that. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Then he says this, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away. And the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Those things, they're passing away. I mean, how long can you have that nice vehicle before it gets scratches and things start falling off? And it just isn't as pretty. Because they have that next model. Oh, that, now I'd be happy with that. It's fading away. It's passing away. It's all going to go up. It's all going to burn. Why place your affection on those things that are temporary? I've given my affection to He who lasts, to the Lord. God calls us to separate ourselves from the things of the world. He says, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins. Can Christians share in covetousness? Greed? Yeah. Come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, unless you receive of her plagues. You notice in verse 5, he says, for her sins have reached to heaven, have piled up, one on top of the other. It's very interesting to me. Babylon came from Babel. Remember, we've talked about it a couple times. The city of Babel that was built by Nimrod. And in Babel, their desire was to exalt themselves. We will build a tower that will reach up to heaven. Remember? And God destroyed it. They've built a tower that reaches to heaven. And it's lust and greed and covetousness. And it's idolatry. They love those things more than they love God. And their sin, their idolatry, their covetousness has reached up to heaven. They've built a tower. The word from heaven is render to her just as she rendered to you. And repay her double according to her works. Double, pay her double. There was a payment for sin that required double. That payment was for theft. If you stole something, you paid double. Now, this idolatrous commercial system has stole the affection of God. Replaced it with things. And from heaven, the voice says, repay her double according to her works, and the cup which she has mixed, mixed double for her, in the measure that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure give her torment and sorrow. For she says in her heart, I sit as queen, and am no widow, and will not see sorrow. Therefore her plagues will come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she will be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judges her. This system, it says, as long as you have money, you can take care of any problem that comes about. Right? Problem? We'll just throw some money at it. How much is it going to cost? What do we have to pay to take care of this? I'm a queen. Nothing bad's going to... I'm not going to see sorrow. This pride, we see that God's judgment upon this system called Babylon, that it is going to occur suddenly, quickly, without warning. She exalts herself, but it's the Lord who judges. It's the Lord God who is mighty and powerful. It isn't the almighty dollar that rules and reigns. It's Almighty God who rules and reigns. Verse 9, the kings of the earth who committed fornication and lived luxuriously with her will weep and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning, standing at a distance for fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour your judgment has come. Now, this system is pictured as a city. That great city, Babylon, that mighty city. And because of this, there's a lot of conjecture that this is an actual, literal city. That it isn't just a commercial system. I think it's both, personally. You know that it takes a center for a commercial system to run, and we have financial centers in the world today, New York, London, Tokyo, right? Those are financial capitals, financial centers of the world today, cities. I think it's both. Some think that this great city, Babylon, speaks of a rebuilt Babylon. Babylon, that ancient city, it was built by Nebuchadnezzar. It was fabulous. It was fantastic. The Hanging Gardens of Babylon were one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. Okay, save that for Jeopardy, okay? And if you win on that question, you know, tithe on that. Oh, that is terrible. Yeah, I'm talking about Babylon. Oh, man, and I'm sucked in. Hey, one of the seven wonders of the world. The walls were so wide that they had chariot races. Six wide on top of the walls. Six wide chariots! Six wide going into the turn. Do we have a race today? All right, it's Father's Day. Of course we do. Michigan. Is it Michigan? Look, NASCAR isn't a part of that Babylonian commercial system. Oh. God bless them. This is a tough chapter when we start looking at the things in our world. Babylon. It was a great and mighty city. Do you know that Saddam Hussein was rebuilding Babylon? Do you know that the United Nations consulted with the United States prior to the invasion to make sure that this Babylon that he was building would not get hit by any bombs? Why? Well, because it's a historic site and they're rebuilding it. Isn't that interesting? Will they actually rebuild it? I don't know. Some people point to the Bible that say Babylon will not be rebuilt, and it will be a desolate place, and even shepherds won't be there. Well, there have been people that have settled in there. And so they said, well, you know, it hasn't literally been fulfilled yet. It needs to be rebuilt and then totally destroyed, and then it will lay waste. I don't know. It's possible. It could be Babylon. Others look at financial cities like New York, London, Tokyo, Hong Kong as that great city. Others look at Rome because that was the headquarters of the religious system, a revived Roman Empire. Well, if that is actually what happens, Rome could be the place. We don't know exactly. We don't know the exact place. We don't know if it's merely a system or if it's an actual city, but it's going to be destroyed, and it's going to be destroyed quickly. And it says, the kings of the earth who committed fornication and lived luxuriously with her will weep and lament for her. Verse 9, look at that. The kings of the earth, that's the world's leaders, the world's politicians. This description, the kings of the earth who committed fornication with her. They were in bed with her. How many times have we heard that phrase regarding politicians? Physically with people, yeah, but I mean with corporations and companies, sweetheart deals. Insider trading. The kings of the earth, the powerful leaders of the world will weep and lament for her. They'll cry because their fortunes are tied into the system. And if this system is gone, their fortunes are also going to go. And they weep and they cry because the gravy train, the free ride, the graft, the corruption, it's gone. It's gone. And they know that they're at risk. Next, we see the merchants who became rich selling their wares weeping. Verse 11. And the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her, for no one buys their merchandise anymore. Merchandise of gold and silver, precious stones and pearls, fine linen and purple, silk and scarlet, every kind of citron wood, every kind of object of ivory, every kind of object of most precious wood, bronze, iron, and marble, and cinnamon, and incense, fragrant oil and frankincense, wine and oil, fine flour and wheat, cattle and sheep, horses and chariots, and bodies and souls of men. This is an interesting list here. You don't have to go very far to be able to find these items. If you were given this as a shopping list, there are malls in the United States that you could go to. High end. There's shopping malls that have Saks Fifth Avenue, Neiman Marcus, and Bloomingdale's. You know, not Walmart or Target, but high end. And you look at this list, and it's like going into one of those stores or one of those malls. You walk in, you see the jewelry. Gold and silver. You can see this down at the Edgewater Mall. Precious stones and pearls. And then there's designer clothes. Fine linen, purple, silk, and scarlet. Only the most wealthy could buy those in John's day. Home furnishings. Art Deco. Every kind of citron wood, every kind of object of ivory, every kind of object of most precious wood, bronze, iron, and marble. The cosmetic counter. Cinnamon and incense, fragrant oil and frankincense. Gourmet food and wine. Fine flour and wheat, cattle and sheep. Even a high-end, I don't want to say auto dealership, but in place of horses, I want to say Harleys. And chariots, fine wheels. Jaguars. I thought they were jaguars until I listened to the guy on the commercial, you know, Jaguar. Jaguar. Stupid you are. We were debating, we were just questioning whether that was the product that has the slogan, what luxury was meant to be. Is it Jaguar? No. What is it?
Cadillac?
High-end chariots. And this thing here is very interesting to me in verse 13. And bodies and souls of men. And I said, well, we don't see that. Oh, really? Oh, really? J. Vernon McGee mentioned that athletes are bought and sold and traded. Well, yeah. But there's things that are much more sinister than that. Bodies of women are purchased daily, and men. They're sold in pornography. They hire them. And then they sell. There is a slave market within the world among the Arab nations that exists. Slavery still exists. There is an even, I mean, that's sinister, but, and I say even more sinister, slave trade, and that's sex slaves. Little children, 6, 7 years old, bought and sold. And rented out to pedophiles in the world. Look, we don't need to look at chapter 18 of Revelation and see this idolatrous system as something that is going to come about. It's alive and well. Right now, right here in America. Some of it may be hidden, but it exists right here. Right now. And saints, you're being bombarded by this stuff. You're being affected by these things. I mean, we can look, we can see this. This is just what God said would be. This is how it is today. Imagine when the church is taken out and all restraint is let go. You think it's bad? I look at it, I think it's bad. I know it's bad. But when the influence of the church is taken out of this world and all restraint is gone, we can't possibly imagine how much worse it will get. Verse 14, it says, "The fruit that your soul longed for has gone from you, and all the things which are rich and splendid have gone from you, and you shall find them no more at all. The merchants of these things who became rich by her will stand at a distance for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, 'Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen, purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, for in 1 hour such riches came to nothing.' Every shipmaster, all who travel by ship, sailors, and as many as trade on the sea, stood at a distance and cried out when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, 'What is like this great city?' They threw dust on their heads and cried out, weeping and wailing and saying, 'Alas, alas, that great city in which all who had ships on the sea became rich by her wealth, for in 1 hour she is made desolate.'" In 1 hour, this great city, this commercial system, it's destroyed. It's gone. In 1 hour. You might remember, in 1 hour, Babylon was destroyed. There was the handwriting on the wall. And then that very night, suddenly, Babylon was destroyed. The original Babylon. This Babylon will be destroyed just that quickly. It's very intriguing, the reaction. The merchants who sold their goods, they're standing off at a distance in verse 15. The seamen, those who transported the goods, standing off at a distance. Many believe that this is an actual city and it's a port city. And that the people are standing off at a distance. People speculate as to why they're standing far off. Is it because they're afraid that judgment's going to fall on them if they go in? There's many who think that this is an actual city, that it was hit by a weapon. Within an hour, a nuclear weapon? Yeah. It would burn it. And people would have to stand afar off at a distance so that they would not be impacted by the fallout. Quite possible. I don't know. We've seen the reaction in the world. Man, people weeping and wailing. The politicians, the merchants, the importer, exporters, the seamen, they're all weeping because they made money off this system and it's all gone. But look here in verse 20, the reaction in heaven. Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her. Heaven rejoices. Look, I don't rejoice over somebody getting nuked. But I do rejoice over God's word being fulfilled. God is faithful. Yeah, I put my trust in him. You don't want me to be happy when God fulfills, when he does what he says he's going to do? You bet I'm happy. I'm counting on him to raise me up from the grave, that I can be with him. I'm trusting in his word. His word is going to come about. And heaven rejoices when his word is fulfilled. When the apostles and the prophets and the saints are vindicated. They had said, look, this is going to happen. Don't put your trust in horses and chariots. Put your trust in God. Don't store up your treasure on earth. Store up your treasure in heaven. And they're vindicated. The earth didn't receive them. The world didn't receive them. They killed them. But they're vindicated. Then a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, thus with violence the great city Babylon shall be thrown down, shall not be found anymore. This is righteous retribution. This system, this city, it is going to be destroyed in a moment. It will be like throwing a giant stone into the ocean. Oh, it's going to make a great splash, but then it's going to be covered up. It's interesting that what is thrown down? A millstone. Your mind is working, you click millstone, and you go, you know, Jesus said, whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea. And the city, it caused people to sin. It caused people to love the things of this world rather than to love God. They got sucked in. They started following after these things. It became their life and their love. Man. 22, it says, the sound of harpists, musicians, flutists, and trumpeters shall not be heard in you anymore. No craftsman of any craft shall be found in you anymore, and the sound of a millstone shall not be heard in you anymore. The light of a lamp shall not shine in you anymore. And the voice of the bridegroom and bride shall not be heard in you anymore. For your merchants were the great men of the earth, for by your sorcery all the nations were deceived. And in her was found the blood of prophets and saints, and of all who were slain on the earth. Man, the picture is this. This system, this commercial system, this love of money, love of things, of merchandise, materialism, it is like sorcery. The advertisements, it was like sorcery. The word is pharmakia, where we get pharmacy, where it speaks of drug use. It's like You drug these people. You influence them like a drug to go and to live for themselves, to live for luxury rather than living for the Lord. And so God says, I'm going to judge it. Hey, this love of money and power and commerce and materialism, it even led to the death of the prophets. When they would come and say, you know, you're going after these things, but they're not going to last. You mocked them. You stoned them. You beat them. You killed them. And God says He's going to judge it. You know, because we're looking at prophecy here, we're looking at things that haven't occurred, it's hard to be definitive regarding this city, Babylon. But I think it is very easy for us to pinpoint what Babylon is in the context of this. It is idolatry, putting things above the Lord, loving your material possessions more than you love the Lord. God tells us that these things aren't going to last, that they're going to perish. And He tells us, as His people, to come out of her. Jesus tells us, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. Is your heart for the things of this world? If it is, enjoy it. Get the most out of it you can. Because it passes quick. Jesus said, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world? If you had all the money and power of this world, if you could trump Donald Trump, if you had more than Bill Gates and Donald Trump and these sheiks and if you owned it all, you had all the marbles, what's it going to profit you if you don't have Him? If you lost your soul in the midst of pursuing that? Man, people will pursue after money, after fame, after fortune. They will work hard for it. They'll get up early, they'll work all day, they'll work way late into the evening to acquire those things. How hard are we pursuing the Lord? Is our pursuit after the things in that shopping list greater than our pursuit of the Lord? Look, I can't tell you where the line is. But there is a definite line. And some have crossed over that line. Some who call themselves Christians have crossed over that line. Pursuing after the things of the world rather than after God. And I can't tell you where it is. But the Lord can. And He will examine your heart. If you're willing, If you're willing to come to him and say, Lord, examine my heart. See if there's any wicked way in me. He will. But if he does, you better be prepared to let go of those things. You might not ever have obtained true wealth and true treasure, true riches. That's only in Jesus. And if you haven't, you come to him by saying, I just surrender all these other things into your hands. They belong to you. I want to have you in my life. I want you to come in and to begin to work in my life. Forgive me of my sins. And he will come into your life and he will start doing that work in your life. But you have to let him, and you have to release these things of the world. You have to be willing to let them go. To say, I don't want them, I want you. And he will come into your life. So, if you haven't done that, I'd just ask you to pray. You can pray with me as I pray right now, and you can begin that journey with the Lord. And for the rest of us, let's pray that we're not holding on to the things of this world, that we're not partaking of Babylon. Father, we come to you and we do thank you, and Lord, we do want to hold on to these things lightly with open hands. We don't want to be clutching on to things. We want to be holding on fast to you, Lord. We pray, Lord, seeing that the things of this world, materialism, that it is going to pass, that it is going to be destroyed. And the only thing that is going to last is those things that you have for us. And so, Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you, Jesus, for coming into our lives. We do pray, Lord, that if there's anyone here today who has never come and asked you into their life, that they would today. Lord, that if there's anyone here that's been holding on to worldly things, that they would just let them go. Seeing that the things of the world are all going to pass away, that they would just let it go now. Lord, we pray that you would cleanse us and keep us pure. Cleanse us from the love of money, the love of things. We pray, Lord, that you would work in our lives, that, Lord, we would be satisfied with what we have, with what you've given us. And, Lord, that you would be glorified in our lives. And so, Lord, we pray that you would bless us today, that Lord, you would continue to work in our lives, that you would continue to show us who you are and what you desire from us. In your name, Jesus. Amen.